Marijuana and hemp look virtually the same to the untrained eye. Marijuana, well, you've probably heard about its effects, contains a lot of THC, the chemical that makes people high. Hemp has very, very little THC, but marijuana, being illegal under federal law, made hemp illegal, too. The people who know hemp and its many uses say it's just a great crop, but no one's been able to grow it. That is about to change in Oregon. The state agriculture department set up a process to issue permits to grow hemp this growing season. Ron Pence is the operations manager in charge of commodity inspection at the Oregon Department of Agriculture and our guest on The Exchange. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So tell us a bit about the timing, why hemp is being considered now, or the whole permit process is going on now.
Well, it started back in 2009 when Senate Bill 676, which is now ORS 576, passed through the Oregon legislature, which, subject to regulations by the department, it does allow for production and commerce of industrial hemp in Oregon. It was in 2013 when a couple of other things had happened that was very important to the industrial hemp in Oregon. One, the Cole memo of August 2013 basically said that the federal government would allow states to exercise more discretion in enforcing their state laws, marijuana regulations, which, as you just mentioned, includes industrial hemp. The other thing that happened was that the state legislature provided the Department of Agriculture with some funds to start up the program.
All right, so the law was passed in 2009, but it was largely the waiting for the federal government to get things into order here?
Yeah, to kind of ease up a bit, if you will.
And so, Ron, was there a great clamor among people who were interested in growing hemp over the course of the last 5 years?
You know, the phones have virtually been ringing off the hook for the last 5 years, off and on. A lot of people, it sounded like there was a lot of interest primarily amongst what I would call hobby growers. But now as it's come, as it's matured into the department where we're actually issuing license and permits, now the serious people are the ones that are making the calls. And we expect to get, we have two licenses applications on file right now. We expect to receive more of them.
And is there a deadline for getting them? I mean, it's pretty much just a matter of getting them in and getting them in order because you want to grow this year, I would think, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah, there's no deadline. There was a report earlier that some people thought included a deadline, but I think the deadline would be the end of the planting season, which is probably into May or June.
And so tell us about the process of developing rules, because it's one thing for the legislature to say do this, but then there's a process that has to go on top of that at the administrative level.
So the law itself is pretty short. It's a couple of pages long, but it did give the Oregon Department of Ag the obligation to write rules. And so what we did was we developed a rules advisory committee that was comprised of people in the community in the state of Oregon that was interested in the hemp industry. It also included an individual from Oregon State University, a member of Oregon State Police, and Senator Przanski also had an aide that was on the committee, as well as Senator Merkley.
And you did have some hearings, I understand, to talk about the rules as they were developed?
Well, we had several Rules Advisory Committee meetings, which lasted for, there were several of them over the course of a little over a year, which the last one was just before Christmas of 2014, in which Senator Przanski also joined us on the call. But yes, we did, part of the process of developing rules is to have a hearing which the public is invited to provide testimony, and that took place, it was January 6th, where we had a public hearing here in Salem on the rules.
It seemed like there was a pretty good crowd for that. I saw some pictures of it yesterday on the Oregonian's website.
Probably a couple dozen people.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, when you're dealing with commodity inspection in the Oregon Department of Agriculture, that's a lot of different commodities, I would presume. But I mean, do you ever get as many people showing up for things as you do for hemp?
No, I expect that there's a lot of people are very interested in following this closely, because it is somewhat of a novelty still. I mean, it's still a federally prohibited substance, which, you know, still is creating a buzz that that a state department is actually issuing a license to grow it.
And in fact, are there other states that are doing this similar? I understand that, 18 states have approved hemp, but only three or so have already actually gone through the process of allowing it to be grown.
I believe that is correct. Kentucky and Colorado, and I believe Vermont is the other state.
Mm-hmm. Based on what I said.
Yes, I had heard recently that there were a total of 18 states that did have legislation passed that allowed for, had laws similar to Oregon's.
Ron Pence is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Operations Manager in Commodity Inspection at the Oregon Department of Agriculture. We're talking about the process for getting permits and licenses to grow hemp under Oregon's law in effect since 2009, or passed in 2009 and just going into effect with the passage of rules now. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions about the process at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Given the sensitivity of hemp and the fact that you do have still federal prescriptions in place against it, was there somewhat greater care taken by the Ag Department in going through the process of setting rules?
Certainly. The Cole memo that I referred to earlier, basically it said that it would let the different states administer their laws regarding marijuana themselves and would basically stay out of it. But they did have 8 specific points that they said that they would rigorously enforce still, and provided that agencies that did allow for marijuana use, legalization of marijuana or hemp, providing they developed robust laws and regulations that still protected those specific 8 points, that they would let those states administer the drug laws.
And what was the nature of the 8 points? Just that this this was all about making hemp and just hemp?
Yeah, listeners, if they would Google, just simply Google the Cole memo, they can get the whole thing. But the 8 points were distribution of marijuana to minors, preventing the sale of marijuana, the proceeds from going to criminal enterprises, gangs, cartels, preventing the diversion of marijuana from states where it is legal under state laws in some form to other states, preventing state-authorized marijuana activity from being used as a cover or pretext for trafficking or other illegal drugs or illegal activities, preventing violence and the use of firearms in the cultivation and distribution of marijuana, preventing drug driving and other adverse public health consequences associated with marijuana use, preventing the growing of marijuana on public lands and attendant public safety and environmental dangers posed by marijuana production on public lands, and preventing marijuana possession or use on federal property.
All right, so those are the 8 points. The Cole memo, by the way, if anybody wants to Google it, is C-O-L-E, named for Deputy Attorney General James Cole. And this is from August 2013, is that right?
August 29th, 2013, correct.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's quite a groundbreaking memo in the sense of letting things happen that hadn't happened in quite a long time.
You know, a lot of marijuana and hemp advocates very much celebrated this memo when it came out. But when you read the language of it, it still indicates that the federal government is still very, very serious about drug enforcement and marijuana.
And so, Ron, did the Oregon set of rules pretty much mirror the Cole memo and then throw a couple of other things in there, too?
We did when we worked with our advisory committee. However, when we wrote the rules, we were required to follow the state law. So there were items that could have been put in, but had to be excluded because we simply may not have had statutory authority to address those in rule.
All right, so now that there is a process in place and were the rules just finished, you mentioned the hearing was early January, so I have to believe the rules are just now set in paper or set in stone?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And so what does somebody have to do if they do want to grow hemp in the state of Oregon now? Then what are some of the steps they have to adhere to get this permit or license? And is there a permit and a license?
There is a license and a permit. First, I should back up a little bit and say that one of the areas of the statute that is very unappealing to some is the requirement for a three-year license. It's an annually produced crop, and because administering a program which a product is grown that's still federally prohibited, it's going to be an expensive program to administer. So it was recommended by our Rules Advisory Committee to set a license fee at $500 a year. Well, when you multiply that out with a triennial license fee, now we've come up to a $1,500 license fee, which, you know, that can certainly be a barrier for some that was mostly interested and wanted to try it out. So a person can apply for a license, pay the $1,500. It's pretty standard information that's required on the license. But if a person wants to also grow and handle the seed, then a permit is required on top of the license, which is also $500 a year or $1,500. So now you're up to a $3,000 license and permit fee if you want to grow industrial hemp and also handle seed.
Why the distinction between handling the crop and handling seeds?
Because seed is a propagative material, essentially. It allows for the distribution and multiplication of the crop.
And so so you're talking about a $3,000 nut for 3 years of hemp if you want to do the seed, too. So you get the license for the crop and then the permit for the seed. So $3,000, does this seem like a number that might take away the profit margin for some farmers, potentially?
It certainly could. That is a big concern of ours, and many of the people that I've talked to, it certainly is a concern. So it's my understanding, well, our last conference call, I mentioned with our Rules Advisory Committee that Senator Brzezinski was on the call. And it's my understanding that he is addressing that requirement legislatively, which would allow us to change the rules to make it an annual license. There's something else I probably should mention, mm-hmm. in that the statute, when it was written, it prohibited the use of seed for other than propagation. In other words, seed is a real attractive byproduct of industrial hemp that is often used for squeezing, to make oils, for different things, food supplements, and so on. The way the statute is written right now, and where seed can only be used for planting, it currently is not legal to use in other manner, such as a food supplement or for squeezing. So we've also discussed this with Senator Brzezinski, and I believe that he is working on making adjustments to the statute, at which time we will immediately change the rules. Well, it's a 45-day process to change the rules, but we will begin working to change the administrative rules to allow for the other use of seed as quickly as we can.
So all those products that could be made with seed are not currently allowed under the rules?
That is correct.
Huh. Given the numbers, though, I mean, we're talking about, again, $1,500 for the license. If you want to handle the seed, that's another permit for another $1,500 for a three-year period. Is there any other commodity in Oregon, agricultural commodity, that costs that much just to get the permits and licenses for?
No, there isn't. But there's also not another commodity in Oregon that's federally prohibited either.
That is true. There's a big difference there with hemp. And you said there have been two applications thus far?
So far, that's right.
And how long a process do you project it to be, or have you completed one already?
We have reviewed the one, and we've given the okay for our business office to issue the license. The other one we just got on the fax machine this morning.
Okay, I saw that a fellow by the name of Edgar Winters in Eagle Point, Winters with an S, is the first guy to get a permit. So for sure it looks like somebody in Southern Oregon will be doing this. Is there any particular zone in Oregon you expect more of these to come from? Any place that is actually better for growing hemp than others?
That is a question I really can't answer. I am told by the person from OSU that was on our Rules Advisory Committee that any place that corn can be grown, that industrial hemp can be grown as well. You know, they have to pay attention to certain varieties, but I expect it will take a green belt. You don't see corn being grown out in the alkali deserts of eastern Oregon, but I would expect there are areas in eastern Oregon, Hermiston, Ontario, as well as up and down the I-5 corridor, I would expect that would be good for producing hemp in.
Okay, so obviously walking slowly into a new process, and as you pointed out, there could be legislative changes as well to the process through the course of the current legislative session. Ron Pence is the operations manager in charge of commodity inspection at the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and he's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for talking to us about the process for applying for licenses and permits to grow hemp.
Thank you very much.